and goes to be with his dad, and now he's separated or divorced. Is today the 10th? It is.
I don't know. There's a scripture, or there's this, it's many, many times in the Bible, but it was very hard for me to believe. And it's the idea that, well, let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which were at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the idea that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world just didn't make any sense to me. And the idea that I would have been chosen in terms of the life I lived before I became a believer was just crazy. But then, as time has gone on, it's become more and more real. Did anybody else have a problem with that? Or is that just me? Apparently it's just me.
I don't know what it means.
You were chosen in him from before the world was formed.
Us or the bride?
You. Let's go to... once I quit arguing about it in my mind, then all of a sudden it made perfect sense. It had to be that way. And so let's go to, where are we? Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 was a song that the Levites sang in the temple on several different occasions during the year. But I'm not going to sing it.
Thank you.
Let's start in verse 10. But favor be shown to the wicked, or as it's in the Hebrew, it's the wicked one. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. And will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, and this is the one that's the biggie. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. And that means everything that has gone on in your life from your birth to now, before your birth, from the foundation of the world, has been ordained by God, and thou hast wrought all our works in us. Now, I don't know about you, but there's no possibility as a new believer that I thought that God had wrought all my works, all the works that I had done, all the activities, all the crap that I did, that could have been God doing his work in me, until I finally understood that he's not just saying he wrought all any righteousness we have in him. He says we have wrought all our works in him. There's nothing about your life, whether it's your genetic history, whether it's your unbelief, whether it's your questioning, whether it's any aspect of your life in him, he has done it. He has done it. He has done it. Do you understand the implications of this? He made my dad a bastard. In terms of at least how he treated me and my mother. But he wrought all those works in us, in me, in my mother. How can that be? Does anybody else have a problem with that? He has wrought all our works in us.
That's some pretty
seedy
stuff.
Well, it's beyond belief.
Yeah.
If you use your mind to try to understand it.
Yeah.
It's like using your mind to try to understand eternity. It can't happen. All right, well, let's look at some more. Go to Revelation 13. Let's go to Acts 17. This is Paul speaking on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece. If you remember, we've talked about this several times, but Mars Hill, well, the Parthenon is on a butte that sticks, it just goes straight up in the middle of, it's right in the middle of Athens. And it's just an incredible deal. And on top of this butte is the Parthenon. And at the time of Paul, the Parthenon was still one of the marvels of the world in terms of its. But when I went up there, it's still unbelievable that they could have made that. But it's much more, a lot more rocks have fallen off and things like that. But anyway, so we're halfway up to this incredible monument. And the Parthenon was built as a it was built to honor the Virgin. That's what its meaning is, the Parthenon. And it was the Virgin that they didn't understand, but it was the Virgin in the all the way back to way and back and much before Christ, the Virgin was always in every culture somehow. It got screwed up in places, but it's in every culture had a Savior being born of a virgin. And remember. The signs of the zodiac in terms of You had to know where to start in the signs, and where, you know, otherwise you couldn't read the stars. And the stars started in the constellation Virgo, and then each of the 12 signs of the zodiac had three sub-signs called, whatever they're called, I can't remember.
Decans.
And it went all the way around until the last sign was Leo. And so this is why the Sphinx was built, to show where you started. You started, the Sphinx is really a head of a woman and the body of a lion. And so it's indicated you start at the Virgin and end at Leo. That's I can go further on that. I'm going to quit. Okay, go to, did I say go to Acts 17?
You did.
Start in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Now Mars Hill, as I said, is this plateau halfway up to where the Parthenon is, but it's still hundreds of maybe thousands of feet above where the Parthenon sits, but it's this debate area that they have these debates up there. And this is Paul at that place. He stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." But it doesn't say superstitious. The word for superstition there is the word for religion. "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this superscription: to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you." Now, the pillar to the unknown God was part of the Parthenon, if I remember right. Yeah, that's right. Then, and it goes on, "God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the earth, on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times beforehand and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now, do you remember which poet that was, anybody?
Aratus or something?
Aratus. Is that it? I don't know. I don't remember. That's why I said, "Does anybody remember?" Because I didn't remember. Maybe it says it here. No, doesn't say it here. I think it's Aratus, but that's anyway. He's a famous poet in history. So again, for in him, he's talking to pagans that are arguing about different stuff. And he said to them, "In him we live and move and have our being." In him who? In the Lord. We live and move and have our being. All right, now let's go to Uh, Let's go to one more. Let's go to Colossians, verse 1. Chapter 1. Verse 12 of chapter 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Made us meet, there it means made us worthy. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist. Now, as a new believer, my tendency was always to return to my mind and try to figure out stuff. It never worked, but I still did it. And I had a, after I became a believer in different people like Pat Booth, they then thought that I would really be able to win now since I would be a Christian and would be able to win at running for office. And I bought it for a while. Fortunately, it was only for 2 or 3 days, if my memory is right. But the idea that I would be involved in a political action with regard to who's running or who is in charge, it denies what this says. He is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. I mean, the idea of politicizing God stuff is just anathema. To me, anyway.
Yeah, it says that God doesn't have, he's not in control, he doesn't have all things under his feet, so we've got to fix the world somehow.
Yeah. How's that worked out?
Obviously, it can't be fixed.
Well, it says it many other places. In Jeremiah, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, on and on. But the idea that if you stop a minute with all doubts and uncertainties and everything, if you could just for a minute believe that he hath chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world. Well, that sanctifies everything. It sanctifies what we would have considered all our errors. It sanctifies all the injustices that we did to people or that were happening to us. It sanctifies every aspect of our lives. And if we can get a handle on that, then we won't be sidetracked. We won't start giving breath to things that we think we need to change. All of a sudden, there's a peace that passes all understanding, and it comes from this place that all of the stuff that you still condemn yourself for was wrought by him in you. All the areas of people that you harmed was brought by him in you. All the people that harmed you was wrought by him in you. There's no place that you can go where he hasn't been your entire life from the foundation of the world in charge, where he hasn't been the author of it, no matter how evil you think it is, no matter how good you think it is, it doesn't matter. He has wrought all our works in us, and he chose us in him from before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but when this came to me, really hit me and what it means, I stopped condemning myself. And that's a big step. I stopped condemning my father. That was a bigger step. I stopped doubting. I stopped trying to get out of it. I stopped trying to change it. I stopped trying to find a loophole with all the years I spent translating all these. And the only reason I'm saying this, the only reason I'm talking about it, is because I know that each one of us maybe still are going through the things where you still condemn yourself, or you still can't forgive. And it's time that you totally enter into his rest. You still may not be able to believe. Put that too in his hands. Unless you believe that your arm of understanding is going to fix you and you're going to make everything good. Well, that hadn't worked out too well for us. But there's a confidence that can take place within you. If every one of the doubts and condemning or others or wishing things were different, or the whole range of possibilities, it's covered in this. He has wrought all our works in us. We were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. Everything that happened to you happened for his benefit, so that you would fit into this mystery of the bride. There's nothing about your life that hasn't been chosen in him. Is this important to anybody else besides how it was so important to me? Lisa? What are you thinking?
Nothing.
How does free will work against like predestination?
Free will is an illusion.
Well, that's what we're talking about really when we say these things, aren't we? Isn't this a part of free will? Or not free will?
Not free will.
Yeah.
Right. We have what looks like free will only in things that are below us. You understand what that means?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
All right. What you're going to have for breakfast is your choice because it's below you. But whether or not you can get a raise or get a new job or whatever, that's above you in this context. But the things that are below you, you have the illusion of free will. Well, I'm gonna not have oatmeal this morning. I'm gonna have something else. Or it's just the things like that. Well, what shirt am I gonna wear? All of those range of things are below you, and the farther you are down in the totem pole, the less and less things are below you. Until finally, you see, it's all an illusion anyway. Does that answer you?
I'm more concerned about, not concerned about, but interested in this. Predestination was a heresy and was condemned, and I think still is. I've never really thought about it or considered it, but with everything we're talking about, we seem to be predestined.
It's only predestination with regard to his bride. The rest of it is happenstance.
Yeah.
The only thing that we were chosen in him about before the foundation of the world is if we are a part of the mystery of the bride of Christ. If you can say then he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and the people who didn't choose, they're just left to their own devices. Does that communicate? All right.
Sorry. Some of us have a path and others don't.
No, you have. All of us have a path.
Did you say path or past?
Path.
Path. Oh, all of us have a path, but the one path is to eternity, the other path is to whatever the other place.
So it's just our integrity or our disposition that allows us to, permits us to consider these things and be aware of them and act on them?
Yeah. But I don't know, there's not much in my life I would have chosen.
What is the heresy of predestination? What does that mean?
That means that
we don't have any choice. We're walking the plank. We just do whatever was conscripted, and that's that.
Right, and mostly it's believed by those who who want a license in how they live. I mean, they want to get approval for.
It's a mystery. It comes off the rails when you start considering free will versus predestination. I think
there's something there. There's an extent there that is, he allows us to see many things, and I believe that. You know, he has wrought in us. I believe that word. I'm just saying how he does it. It's a mystery. I don't think we can ascertain every little bit of it. I think there's something there that's left that we cannot grasp. Because as I think about it and read other verses in the Bible, you know, it says that he would will that everybody would come to salvation. So
in what? Wait a minute. Where did you find that one?
Well, isn't there a part that says something like that?
There is a quote, I would that all of
that all would be saved or something.
That was Paul's approach. I don't think that was ever said by God.
I'll look that.
Yeah.
I think there's.
Yeah, look it up because I don't.
Yeah, I won't. But if that would be so, which I will.
I don't want to argue with something that may not be so. So.
No. So let's put that aside for now. Just seeing what we studied this morning, there is something there that I still cannot, and I have a feeling. As many things that he states in his words are mysteries that only God can reveal to us, and I'm sure that if he does or doesn't, it's his doing as well, because that's not very clear.
Yeah, I understand, but I can't respond to your question without knowing what the scripture was.
No, there's no question. I'm just stating that I think that cannot be completely understood at all times, every single, you know, it's not a straight, clear how he does that. I don't, or at least right now, for what we've said this morning, I believe that word, but the way he does it, I don't know.
Well, I think we can know. I think that the mystery of God has been revealed, and we can see it, we can understand it, but not by the use of your mind. It has to come with. For me, it always had. Every time that I saw what was apparently a a contradiction of something in the Bible, whether from beginning to end, every time that there was a that this contradiction seemed to be real, and when I stopped trying to understand it and just said, forgive me for nosing around in here, then I understood it. So I don't think there's anything in the mystery of God that we can't be made aware of if we ask for it. And so it's too easy just to, for me it wasn't even acceptable, is that if there was something that was a contradiction or something that, you know, I wasn't supposed to know or something, well, then that didn't make any sense.
I agree with you. I would pray about this. So I'm saying right now where I stand this morning here at this particular moment, I can't see okay. the whole thing yet.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's why these scriptures are so important. There's Galatians 1:15, Isaiah 49, 1 and 2, Galatians 1:16, Ephesians 1:4, Hebrews 4:3, Revelation 13:8, Isaiah 26:12, Acts 17:28, Colossians 1:17, Jeremiah 1:5. All of those are about what I just said this morning. They're about the different aspects of what it means to have wrought all our works in us. And it was something that I couldn't buy. This doesn't make any sense until it didn't make sense. But it didn't make any sense until I stopped trying to use my mind to understand it. Forgive me, Father, is always the key. Or not necessarily even forgive me, but Father, this is yours. And then it's revealed. I don't think I could even be a believer if that hadn't been. I mean, I don't even know how many years ago it is now. January 19th, I think, 17th or 19th, 1972. I mean, that's a long time. But for the first probably 6 or 7 years, I was always in this position of trying to figure out something that seemed. And then I spent all those years translating the Bible, but because it was always a key, like, well, I don't remember which one, but there was one this morning. But if you think there's contradictions, then I would ask you to look deeper.
Yeah, I don't know that there are any contradictions. I'm just staying where I stand this morning.
No, I'm not just talking. You don't think all of us, everybody, all in the little machine too. So, because this is normal. I mean, this is not. But don't be like a bump on a log. Push it. Push it. Push it. Amen?
Amen.
All right.